So I have trust issues with the weather app on my phone. It lies or is terribly inaccurate. I don't know if anybody else has this problem. I get up in the morning and I look at it still, even after trust issues, and it says today is going to be 60 degrees, and so I get up and I put on my leggings and my sweatshirt, and then by the afternoon it's 75 and I'm doing this. And y'all, you do it too, because I see you going like this, taking off all your layers. You would think after living here long enough that I would get the hang of this, but no, here we are still talking about it. It's just a thing. So the weather outside does not reflect the weather on my app. Does anybody else have this problem? I think the only people that don't have windows are those that forecast the weather. I'm pretty convinced of that. So I have windows. I'm going to start relying on those. But I've also noticed that, today is the second week of Advent. We're going to be talking about peace. And what we see in the world does not reflect the peace that we have in Jesus. Also a true thing. So what is peace? The most commonly defined, I looked a few definitions, the most common definitions from the world were the absence of war or conflict. And I thought, I don't have the absence of conflict. I usually have conflict by breakfast in my house. I don't know if that happens to anybody else. That was not very comforting to me. So I thought, maybe I'm not very peaceful. So I thought, well, there's got to be a better definition out there. So peace, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. It is holistic peace, well-being, being made complete and whole. I like that one. The first one is shallow. It's empty. It leaves me wanting a little bit more. The second one is the one Jesus came for. I choose Jesus. I want that one. Isaiah 9:6-7. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne, and his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord and heaven's armies will make this happen. Thank you. Jesus came to give us peace. The Prince of Peace is his, in that, there's a lot of really good names for Jesus. We can go through all. But that's more than a name. That's a characteristic that describes him. His coming to earth would bring a place of peace that would set us free. A real freedom, not just an emptiness. In 9:7, there's a peace that's not ending. Not done by breakfast. We have a real peace. Jesus doesn't come to give as the world does. In John 14:27, he says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you, Peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." It's one of my favorite verses. Anybody else ever get up and go, today is just that day, whatever it is. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Anybody ever had just something that comes up out of the blue? It's not a literal storm like your app. Something comes up because life, right? Well, me and Janine, the rest of you are doing great. It happens. And sometimes we can think, well, maybe I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, or maybe I'm not where I'm supposed to be. That's a Jonah situation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you're where you're supposed to be. You're living in the place that God's called you to be. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and that's when the storm comes. Because the fact is, the disciples were where they were supposed to be. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing, and the storm hit. And I think those are the storms that surprise us. They catch us a little off guard, and they cause us maybe to second guess ourselves. But God, we say, I'm doing what you told me to do. Are you sure? At least maybe me and Janine are the only ones. Anybody else? They were where they were supposed to be. They were doing what they were supposed to do, but they were still in a storm. The question I have for you, do you know Jesus? Do you trust Jesus? Because if the answer to those things are yes, then you're going to look at your circumstances differently. It's easy to say yes to that, but I want you to really think through that. Because who's the first person that you called when your storm hit? Was it your buddy, or did you press in? Did you doubt, or did you press in? Because trust shows where your faith went. So we get into a mess, and we need to go to Jesus. We believe and we know that Jesus died for our sins, and he gives us access. He gives us access to himself. He gives us access to the Father. He gives us access to the Holy Spirit, and he gives us access to peace. We need that peace. We don't need that shallow peace. Because conflict's going to come. We just discussed it. It's coming. But we need that deep peace, and we have to press in. Because the fact is, I'm married. I'm married to a great guy. I love him very much. I've been married for 20 years. But sometimes we don't see eye to eye on things. And therefore, there's conflict. And when conflict comes, I can either sit and grumble. Sorry, I already picked on you enough. And I can tell my best girlfriend over here. You're not going to believe this, but you know what he did. And we can just, yeah. Or I can press in, and I can take it to God, because he's got a lot of really good advice on how to handle that. One is going to get me just in a world of mess and on a crazy cycle. And the other one is going to get me in a closer, more intimate relationship, and it's going to get it fixed. There's lots of examples we can go through. Peace. We've been given access. So, press in. Sometimes you may feel like you're in the middle of the storm, and you may think, well, the disciples had Jesus, but I'm not sure he's there. Like, I don't feel him. And so I would tell you, just because you don't feel him doesn't mean he's not there. I was standing outside today, and I thought, I don't necessarily feel the wind, but it doesn't mean there's no air outside. I was breathing just fine. It wasn't suffocating. Sometimes we feel like Jesus isn't in the boat. Maybe he's got into, you know what, I think I haven't been doing things quite right. Maybe he jumped into Phoebe's boat today. Phoebe, have you been doing things better? She told me she was doing great in school. Jesus must have jumped into Phoebe's boat, so she's got things a little more peaceful. Y'all, that's ridiculous. The waves might be big, and your storm might be big, but that doesn't mean that Jesus is not in your boat. In Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not fear nor be afraid, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He will not. He's with you. He is always with you. We just got to keep our eyes there and not trust those crazy lying feelings. We have to take every single thought captive so that we don't trust those lying feelings that get ahead of us and run amok. When we're in the middle of a storm, we have to press in harder and not give up. Because it says be strong and of good courage. It takes a little bit of courage on our end to have peace. Anybody willing to be brave? Come on, I believe you. You can do it. This morning there was a word given, and it said that Emmanuel is with us, but we need to reach out. That, I don't have all the words. You guys can go back and listen so that you can get it. That struck me this morning, and then we were listening to the music, and I thought sometimes when it's dark and we feel alone, my natural reaction is to pull back. But he said, you got to reach out. Sometimes it takes some action on our part because God is there. He's with us. He never left. But sometimes it takes some action on our part to reach out. When Peter got out of that boat and he started walking, when his eyes shifted, he started to sink. All he had to do is reach up, and Jesus was right there. My favorite part of that is he started to sink. He didn't sink like a rock. I have that written and highlighted and scribbled in every Bible I have, because to me that's brilliant. God didn't let me sink. There have been times in my life where I have started to sink, but every time I've reached up, he's always, every single time, taken my hand and pulled me back up. Man, I'm thankful for that. If you got to write out some stories and testimonies and plaster them all over the place to get you through whatever moment you're in, remember, reach up, because he is the answer and he never leaves or forsakes us. Praise God. Recognize there was a high price paid for our peace. When I was a little girl, my grandma had perfume. It was really expensive, and if we touched it, oh, she'd have got my hide. But when she wasn't looking, we would sneak in there because it smelled. It probably smelled awful, but to us, it smelled so good. And we would go in, and we would just touch a little bit of it, and we wanted to just like her. I don't know how much it cost. All I know is she said it was very, very expensive. I remember. And we would just, and it was in a glass bottle, and it was like this big. My brother, I don't know, he was like 6. He broke it one day. I think the house smelled like this stuff for like 3 years. It was awful. Because it was so strong. I just remember all we heard about was the high price that was paid for this perfume. Do we take things a little more serious if there's a high price paid for something? Are we a little more special with it? But what about the peace? Do we sometimes take for granted the high price that was paid for our peace? Oh, Isaiah 52:5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Don't forget the high price that was paid so that you could have peace. It's not just a greeting, shalom, as we say to someone and they go by. There's a high price. The Jesus that we celebrate, that was laid in that manger, lived a perfect life, and then was bruised and crushed so that I could lay down my anxiety and my worry, and I can have peace. Wow. That price was paid. If he is Lord of your life, peace is a gift that you can have. We're not called to settle and live in defeat. I was talking with my friend Adam, and he's a broker, and so he goes into some houses. And I said, okay, so when he was going into these houses, and he was telling me about a house that he was showing, and he went into the first room, and it was beautiful, and the front room was really nice. I said, okay. And so he went into the second room, and it was really, really nice. And I said, okay. And then he went into the third room, and I'm like, okay, that's really nice. Then he went into the bathroom, and somebody had used it without water. And it wasn't okay. Everybody look at Phoebe's face. Yeah, she's helping me out. It smelled not okay. They had left it for someone else. And so I said, well, why would people do that? Well, I don't know. They left it. They'll take care of it later. Okay. I mean, ew, but okay. I think sometimes we do that with what we've got for Jesus. We got some worry in our front room. We come to church on Sunday, and we sing, and we take care. We're okay. How are you doing? I'm okay. And on Wednesday, how are you doing? I'm okay. The phone rings. I'm okay. But that worry, that area, that fear, we're going to close the door. And we'll deal with that later. And that smell, the first day, it's not okay. But the second day, it's a little worse. A week, 2 weeks. I don't know how long it's been since he had to go into that room where it was brokered out. I'm thinking it's good. The longer you go, the worse it smells. We gotta let go of that stuff. The price has been paid. If the water gets turned back on, flush the toilet, man. If you know Jesus, the water's on. The price has been paid. Come, open your hands, let go. We need to let go. We need to have peace with ourselves. Jesus took our guilt and our shame and our anxiety to the cross. It takes some courage, but we can have assurance in our heart that he is in control. Sometimes we try to cover it up. This morning, Shannon had some sprays, and she was covering some things up. But, you know, eventually that fester is going to come out, and you can't cover it up. Sometimes we talk about how we escape with media, and we talk about the ucky stuff, the alcohol. But sometimes we cover it up with all of the good things we try to do. I donated 18 cans of soup to the food bank. That's really good. I'm proud of you. I volunteered 49 hours last week alone at the shelter. I'm so glad. That's wonderful. We can do goodism enough. That doesn't cover up it either. We still have to go to God and let him clean us up. We can't fix the broken. Only God can give us that shalom, that wholeness, that peace. We don't have the ability to fix it, because if we could, he wouldn't have sent his son if we could do it on our own. There would have been no need. I love my two kids. I wouldn't sacrifice them. And God is much wiser than me. I know that surprises some of you. We can't bring wholeness to ourselves. It takes effort and it takes courage. For some of you, this means forgiving yourselves. That can be hard. You've missed it. I've missed it. Forgiveness. It's really easy for some of you, it's really easy. Sister comes up and she says, you know what? I'm sorry we had this thing. And I said, oh, I forgive you. The forgiveness with other people isn't your problem. It's when you look in the mirror and you say, God, I did it again. It's the same thing. And you carry it and you won't let it go. God said, I covered that. Please give it to me. You weren't meant to carry that. Lay it down, sister. Lay it down, son. I love you. He wants you to know today, before you walk out that door, that he has a peace. For some of you, it means your gift mix. You are comparing it to someone else. He wants you to be happy with the way he made you. He has a purpose for your life. You're trying to do somebody else's something. Do yours. Your personality, your calling, your serving. Whatever that looks like for you. Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is something I really struggled with this last week. I was putting it together, and somebody who loves me called me out. They said, hey, you look exhausted. I said, I'm okay. Sound familiar? He said, no, you look exhausted. We did this circle a couple of times. I'll spare you. And I said, well, I'm really struggling. And he said, yeah. And I said, I can't do some of the things I think I ought to. And they said, well, why do you think you ought to? And I said, well, somebody else can. And they said, yeah, but did God tell you you were supposed to? Ooh. It took me a minute to get there. I'll spare you the long version. But no, God didn't tell me I ought to. It's really hard when we look out past and we look left and right. So I had to reach out and say, God, pick me back up because I'm drowning. I'm trying to carry what's not meant for me to carry. And it can get so heavy. And I can say, God, I don't know why it's so heavy. And he said, well, put it down. I didn't mean for you to carry it. And then when we lay it down, we go, oh, yeah. So before you leave, if you're carrying something that it's not yours to carry, lay it down. But don't try to pick it back up before you get to the door. We receive the grace of God. We can know that shalom is ours despite the chaos that's going around. Because sometimes the storms are going to come. Sometimes it's going to be quiet, but we can have that peace despite what's going on around you. We are God's children. And some of us have been given the gift to be peacemakers. And that means we have to have difficult conversations. And that brings out reconciliation and restoration. And in this season where many of us are coming together with families, I would remind you that peacemaking and peacekeeping are not the same thing. Peace takes a lot of work. It is not the absence of conflict, like the world says. True peace requires taking what's broken and restoring it to wholeness, and you cannot do that on your own. That means that God is going to have to flow through you. You are going to have to press in. God is so good. I had, when my children were toddlers, peacekeeping meant keeping one on that side and one on that side. Peacemaking meant asking hard questions and using wisdom. There's a difference. And knowing when to not be a part of something that's none of my business. Toddlers are always my business, but in family, We have to know when to be peacemaking and when to step back. It's very difficult. But we have to do our part. We have to live at peace the best we can with our families, friends. We have to know when to have difficult conversations and when to hold our peace and say nothing. We have to know to press in our own lives and when to lay things down at the altar and press in just with God and listen. Ask God today, Father, what are you saying to me? What are you asking me to lay down right now? I know you've made me beautiful and wonderful, and you have a plan and a purpose for me. Am I holding on to something that I need to lay down so that you can place something into my hands to restore peace? Is there a room that smells bad because I haven't dealt with something and I'm just trying to cover it up? Be honest. If you're holding something that is in between you and God to help you live at peace. I heard Sister Christine say, she asked somebody something and she said, I'm just hanging in there. And she said, don't let go. And I kind of giggled and I get that. Sometimes we are just hanging in there. But I would leave you with 1 Corinthians 15:58. I didn't give this to you guys, sorry. Don't merely hang in there, but be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that continually being aware that your labor in the Lord is not wasted. It's one of my fight verses because I don't want to just hang in there, because when you're hanging, you are blowing in the wind, and that is not what he has for you. He has your feet firmly planted. You are meant not to be on shifting sands that are always changing, but to be firmly planted on the rock that is steady and not blowing, hanging in there. You are beautifully and created, beautifully and wonderfully made with a plan and a purpose, and to have peace, not as the world gives, but as he gives. Father God, I just come to you and I thank you. I thank you for your peace that you give, that you came, Father. Jesus, you came and lived a perfect life and died that you would restore us, that we may have peace, we may know peace, your peace. That if there is anyone in here that has something that they need to lay down, that they would honestly just hear from you, Father, that they would search their heart and that they would not walk out that door, Father, without laying it down. Father, I thank you for each person in here, for each gifting, for each for how you've made each and every one of them, that they would see that they are made in your image and that they are perfect through you. We thank you and we praise you. Amen.